welcome back to the Urban Lore Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Castaños. So how many flavors does Bigfoot come in? Sasquatch, Yeti, Skunk Ape. They go on and on. You know, the description is typically similar in many ways, you know, certainly big, 7 foot tall plus, hairy, bipedal, ape-like, you know, on and on. Most do talk quite a bit about an obnoxious aroma. But one that's maybe a little less known than others around the country is a friend of ours from Southern California, from most notably around the Anza Borrego State Park in Southern California, San Diego County. If I'm not mistaken, it's one of the largest state parks in California, and it's pretty much all desert. And this is home to what is typically known as the Borrego Sandman, Borrego Sandman. He's, again, your typical Bigfoot, Sasquatch, 7 feet tall, bipedal, hairy. But this one is white-colored with red eyes, as it's been described on numerous occasions. So maybe has a little more of the Yeti thing going on. But if its biology is determined by its environment, then its natural camouflage would be a lighter color than, say, the darker hairy apes that are more familiar in the forested areas of Northern California or Arkansas or any other wooded area for that matter. Native Americans have talked about these, you know, hairy devils, as they're often referred to all over the nation. Nothing new about that. And often they are referred to as these, you know, foul-smelling things to be avoided. But all in all, it's fairly universal that Native Americans talk about some bipedal, ape-like creature. What that means? Well, it could mean that there's a big, hairy, bipedal creature running around out there. Or maybe it's some distant memory of an animal long extinct. We may never really know the answer. But let's go back to the Borrego Sandman, an abominable Sandman of Borrego, as some people have even called him. The first actual recorded incident of the Borrego Sandman is in April of 1876. A guy named Turner Helm, who was a prospector in the area, allegedly encountered one of the Borrego Sandmen, or the Borrego Sandman, if there's only one, and tried to communicate with it in all the languages he knew, which included some Native American tongues and English and probably some pretty weak Spanish, and that the animal appeared to just become more and more agitated as he tried to communicate with it. So the last form of communication that Mr. Helm knew was, of course, pulling a gun. And at that point in time, the creature ran off. It's more than a decade later, in 1888, that Charles Cox and Edward Dean actually go out on a hunt for the Borrego Sandman. There were a number of unsolved murders in the area, so obviously 2 and 2 = 96. They decided that the Borrego Sandman may have been the culprit in these crimes, because the victims allegedly were just ripped to shreds like only an animal would do. Of course, now we know with serial killers and whatnot that the human animal is just as capable, sadly. The two guys actually say they shot one and shipped the body back to San Diego for display. But imagine this, can't believe their luck. The corpse somehow went missing, I guess, long before LAX people were losing luggage in Southern California. Other murders were attributed to the Borrego Sandman going back to the 1870s. Right around World War I, an anonymous store owner and prospector says he was attacked by a group of upright walking apes when he camped near Borrego Sink. He was surrounded, but they refused to come closer because he had a fire going. They appeared to be afraid of his fire. Sightings of the Borrego Sandman continue on. 1964, tracks were found that were 14 inches in length and 9 inches wide. Plasters were taken, and of course, none of these are found today. We're developing a pattern here when it comes to the Borrego Sandman that evidence appears to be collected and then lost. Borrego Sandman is not just limited to the area of the desert, though. As a matter of fact, there's another creature that's often referred to as Yucca Man, but the Yucca Man may yet be, if you believe that these are real things, may yet be another kind of Sasquatch tall ape, because unlike the descriptions for the Borrego Sandman, the light or white colored fur, our good friend the Yucca Man is actually more like your atypical Bigfoot with the long brown hair. People go on to say that the Edwards Air Force Base even deals with Borrego Sandman or desert Bigfoot encounters regularly, but of course, we know that the government keeps all of those secrets from us, tongue firmly implanted in cheek. So with little or no evidence to this guy, to this creature, to this beast, it's relegated just to a series of historical and, I guess, occasionally modern sightings. You know, let's go back to the age-old argument about Sasquatch in how does it survive? How is it hidden this long? What's the environment? And the desert environment would be very difficult for anything this size. So then people that want to make the jump to interdimensional being or something otherworldly. So I guess that would blow all the biology argument out the window if you go with that. Now, if you really want to see one, all you need to do is go and see the Ranchita Yeti, a statue that was made just outside the Monument Valley Market by a real estate prospector who thought it would attract people to his real estate business. It's a 7 foot tall statue. I actually think it's even bigger. I think it's over 10 feet tall. Well, I don't know if it's sold in any real estate, but people who drive the highway stop and take a photo with it all the time. And if you go in the market, be sure and get the little tchotchke Ranchita Yeti buttons and sundries that they sell there. So our friend Bigfoot isn't just found in the mountains and the swamps. There appear to be versions of this huge ape-like creature in the desert as well, if you believe these accounts. If you like stomping around and leaving huge footprints where you go, well, then you're probably the kind of person that likes our show. And you may even have friends, although you do seem pretty solitary if that's your hobby. But if you do have friends, please tell them about our show. You can find us on all the major podcatchers or directly from urbanlorepodcast.buzzsprout.com. You can email us at urbanlorepodcast, all one word, at gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at urbanlorepod. Remember, we are looking for submissions of your stories of the strange and unexplained. You can email them to us at urbanlorepodcast@gmail.com. But what we'd really prefer is you to get on your little voice recorder on your phone, your voice app, and record your story. Please make it under 10 minutes and email it to us. We'd love to hear your voice on our show. For the Urban Lore Podcast, I'm Tom Castaños.